invite link real quick on this one. Now, I don't know if you can see this. Do you see the invite link on there? Oh, right. Hold on. It's not showing that. Hold on. Hold on. Private chat. I'm going to go. Do you see a little private chat window on there? Yeah. I'm going to send you a private chat real quick. Yeah. Yeah, it's because it's on a new instance of it's weird. But anyway. Yep. Okay. All right. Ascension. Millennium. All right. Got this feeling in my soul. I think this is the invite link. Send the invite link to everybody who wants to be on. Ascension Millennial. I'm the comeback king. All right, I think I got him on. Hopefully. Maybe. I think he has to, my boy Tim has to do, here we go. All right, there we go, man. Sorry for I still got to get used to StreamYard, man, because I think it's just fun making multiple videos for multiple subjects. So I am curious, though. Now, I have a piece of paper here.
I don't see us on YouTube yet.
Oh, we're not? Hold on. I think we are. Let me check my live streams real quick here. Oh, I see. Yes, yeah, we're Epstein's flight list, speculation, golden stream. You're not seeing it?
No, I don't see it. Oh, man, but it just popped up. Okay, yeah, we're on now.
Yeah, you see. Okay, cool. Yeah, and also feel free to send the invite link to your buddy. It's also in the chat, so if your buddy just gets into the chat, that's fine, too.
Yeah, you'll I tried to look him up. I'm not sure if he's actually home or something.
He didn't seem to come up, so. So here I got a juicy list. It happens to be blank. You need that one of those secret markers to reveal what's on here. And this may or may not be allegedly. I'm using lawyer speak right now. This is allegedly the list, Epstein's list. What do you think?
Here's some of my guesses. I think Corey Feldman is on the list, but I think he was just trying to infiltrate at the island. He was going to do an expose.
I can see that happening. I wonder if, like, Chris Hansen tried to get in. You know, like, you know, the Dateline NBC guy is like, I'm Chris Hansen, and we do it. Dateline NBC. I don't know if he did, like, the To Catch a Predator thing or whatever. And I love Chris Hansen.
I'm surprised he didn't. I'm trying to ask him. I'm looking up right now if he ever – Chris Hansen exposes – yeah, he never really went after Jeffrey. Oh, Jeffrey Epstein nearly targeted by Chris Hansen. He says he was nearly a target in 2019. Hansen now said in 2014 or 15 he came close, setting up an operation to coke Epstein into incriminating himself.
My man. Oh my goodness.
But what happened with Chris Hansen? He ended up cheating on his wife with like one of his producers or something. And then he got divorced. And then he tried to start like a GoFundMe to get another channel going. And then the people who donated were supposed to get like a free hat or something. And they never got the hat. And he's had to like use his credit card to buy hats to send to people. And it all kind of melted down.
It's sad that I had to admit this, but yeah, I think Chris Hansen might be a grifter. I didn't want to ever admit that, but I still love Chris Hansen to this day. Like, I think his show was fantastic because it was kind of like Jerry Springer. It felt like Jerry Springer meets pedophiles. I don't know. That's how it felt about it.
Well, Hansen's got his own channel on YouTube, but he only posts about once a month or six or something. But then he's got some other thing called True Crime Daily, which he was doing. It seems like he's on that sometimes. I don't know if that's his thing, though. But, yeah, he's not really – he was doing the same Catch a Predator thing in a hotel for a while, but that he hasn't seemed to do that lately, so.
Wow.
But there's so – yeah, there's so many of these To Catch a Predator things on YouTube. Like, there's so many different people who do it privately, and then they call the cops. Who's that one guy? I can't remember his name. He's, like, this big Jewish guy in New York who does it. And then even here where I am, there's, like, a few different people. like just in my area. And they just do
maybe
it.
Maybe I could do that. Yeah, because I look like a kid. Well, I look like a boy. Like, no, seriously, if I shave my face,
yeah,
shave it off, or like shave my beard and stuff. Well, I don't even have much of a beard, to be quite frank. But once I shave it, cleanly shaven, I can look like a kid instantly. It's very easy. And I think I could do a sting operation at my local Walmart. You know how much fun that would be to just have a bunch of creepers, like, you know, think you're like a young boy. You're like, oh, I'm 15 or something, and then, or like 14. And then like they just come to Walmart to, you know, I'd just be hanging out in the electronics section all day. One of my buddies actually works at the local Walmart. I won't reveal his name just so that way he doesn't get in trouble for knowing me.
Yeah, but I saw this one that they did where it was in a 7-Eleven, and the guy they were trying to catch went to the 7-Eleven bathroom and locked himself in there, and he was in there for like an hour, and they couldn't get him out or something. But yeah, there's like a whole – there's so many, and it's like – but their channels always get like deleted, and they get strikes because I think people complain and try and get their channels shut down or something. But
oh, yeah.
There's like a lot of them though. But yeah, this Epstein list, I don't know. I mean, everyone is throwing names out. They have like flight logs already, and it's like Clinton's and whatever. It's like, you know,
that's crazy, man. Like, how are these? There's not any hardcore evidence, because I don't know. Are you guilty for going to the island? You know, no, technically, but.
And they're also not sure if the girls were even underage. It's like, yeah, a lot of them are like, oh, this girl, she looked like she was 16 or something. It turns out she was 20. Like, no one really knows. Like, there might have been, but I don't really know.
There's definitely, like, human trafficking, it seems like, though. Whether it's underage or not, it's pretty messed up, dude. And, like, the whole thing's like, oh, man. I mean, like, look, unless they were, like, agreeing to be, like, maybe they got paid a handsome fee to be sex bitches or something. I don't know. But the whole thing is so sketchy, though. The whole Epstein's Island, man. Sketchy shit.
Yeah, I think it was like they say it was like an Israel intelligence operation where they're just basically just blackmailing people. They get like because remember the FBI said, oh, you know all these tapes we recovered from the safe in Epstein's mansion, and he had tapes on everyone? Oh, you know what? We lost those. I remember they said that like 2 or 3 years ago. We lost the tapes. Sorry. We don't know what happened to
them. Oh, how fucking convenient.
So I think they probably got the tapes. I doubt they destroyed them. But yeah, I think it was just to blackmail people, but.
Yeah, it's tough because it's like, I mean, it could be, I don't know. I think the whole thing is just crazy. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if rich people were going to a pedo island if there were that many sickos out there. But, you know, I don't know. They're probably of age. I think it sounds like a sex island to me. From what I've been able to gather, it just sounds like a depraved sex island for rich people to bang and just bang other random people.
Well, even if they were of age, like, it's still like a thing. Like Bill Gates said, is Melinda Gates said their marriage ended because of Epstein's Island, because Bill Gates kept going there. So, you know, even if the girls are of age, yeah, it's still a thing you can blackmail people with or whatever you want. So.
Yeah. Well, and also, man, if you're married, it's like you shouldn't be going to creepy sex islands. It's kind of, you know, unless you bring your partner with you. But that's the way I look at it. But I don't know. That's weird, man. I don't get it. Like, I mean, my thing is, I just want to get rich as shit and then just, I don't know, put all the money into just dividend stocks and then just milk my permanent income forever and be a lazy piece of shit on the beach. See, that's my dream, is just to be a lazy piece of shit sitting on the beach, maybe fapping in like a beach tent or something like that, jerking it. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, you could have Garza Island, but it's just, you know, it would be it would kind of just be like somewhere like off the coast of like Pennsylvania or something. Like, you don't want anything tropical, just something that was like you know, it has like an abandoned like electrical shed or something. You just like live in there.
I don't know like why, but
it's like the Unabomber. Like a bad idea, but you'd be the Unabomber.
Oh my god! I thought of I don't know if it's a good idea or a bad idea. I don't know. It just seems like a cool idea in my mind. Is just to have multiple floaty rafts all connected to each other. Just go out to the ocean and call it, you know, Garza's creepy pedo island. I don't know. That'd be funny though. Just like start like my own little island somewhere on the Oregon coast. Just inflatable with inflatable rafts. all
connected to each other. Is there a lot of islands on the Oregon coast? It looks just kind of like there's the beach and then not a lot of islands. But maybe
that's a very good question. In fact, I think if you were to actually look at the closest, I bet I could go on Google Maps and be like, what is the closest island to the Oregon coast?
Like, you don't have a lot of islands, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say actually, here we go. The 6 most beautiful islands off the Oregon coast with actual pictures. Okay, what the hell?
I'm looking at Oregon now. I don't see any islands. Maybe like...
I don't... They say this is an island, but I don't consider these islands. I mean, they're definitely like...
There's like some tiny little like outcroppings, but... But it's basically just flat all the way down. It's just Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, there's really not... When it comes to islands, yeah, I don't really consider some of these. I'm looking at... I don't know why they call these islands. I mean, I guess they are, by all technicality, islands, but I don't consider them like a, you know, like a place where you can put up real shelters or anything like that for anything. That'd be kind of interesting to live off of an island for a bit, though. That'd be kind of savage.
Okay, I found this predator catcher guy. I'll show a couple of seconds of this guy. He got caught like 4 times. This is like the 4th time they've caught him.
I think I know which. Oh, I don't think I've seen this dude a lot.
I think this is in Canada, but they found him 4 times and he kept doing it. And they went to his work. I think he worked at like a car dealership or something. Yeah. Anyway, this is them going after him.
This is all the evidence. I'm calling the cops right now. Ma'am, I'm calling the cops right now. Jason, on Kijiji, hand, 13-year-old hand. Jason, hand's 13 years old. Hand's 13 years old, Jason. All the evidence is here. All the evidence is here, Jason. Call the police, please. Call the police.
Please.
Call the police. Call the police.
Get lost. He's a moron. Call the police.
13 years old. This is my 4th time busting him. My 4th time busting him.
Please me.
Yeah. Fourth time I busted him for wanting to get with a 13-year-old girl. 4th time I busted him.
This is insane.
13-year-old. You want to lure outside? You want her to live in with you? You talk to me. Okay. Look, this is all the evidence right here, Jason. Yeah, I know. That's assault right now. You're assault. Assault number 1. I am pressing charges. I am pressing charges. Yeah. Jason.
Yeah, I think the police come eventually or something, but I think they couldn't do anything for some reason. But
well, yeah, I mean, if you don't really have any, I think the problem is it depends on the laws. If he was just being a decoy, then I think that it's not, because there's no actual, what do you call it? Because there's no actual crime, because there's no actual victim.
Well, I think also because they went to his work, like he didn't go to where they are or something.
Oh, right.
But they just had some chat transcript or something or text in there, and the cops were like, I know, but we can't legally do anything or something.
This is crazy though. 4 times. I mean, like, how... Like, how do you...
But that guy, I don't know what he had, dwarfism maybe, or...
Yeah, it did seem like a little smaller. I mean, at a certain point, though, I kind of, you know, in a weird way, I kind of feel bad for him, dude. It's like I think what he does is, like, what he's doing is wrong. But, like, at the same time, I also kind of feel for him. It's like, how desperate do you have to go after that young of a person? You know, it's definitely predatorial behavior, but it's like there's got to be like some sort of psychological help the guy can get. You know what I mean? Like,
That's why Chris Hansen had to stop doing his show, because they got sued a bunch of times, because some of the people that kind of got lured in were like mentally ill or had mentally handicapped.
So that's cruel.
Yeah, the show got sued for like setting them up or whatever you call it. I can't remember what the term was, but basically that's why it stopped. And then another guy committed suicide, who was like someone they caught before they could even go through with it. Like, it was something about him luring a young boy, but I guess he didn't actually show up at the house. They just had the tax. So they went to him, and then he ended up shooting himself or something. So they had to stop it because of legal issues. Yeah.
Well, my thing is, man, it's just like, legalities aside, yeah, it's just like, there's a part of me that like, a part of me is like, you know, get these pedos in jail. But at the same time, it's also like, the side of me is always like, well, what makes them this way? Like, why are they actually like, why are they actually attracted to somebody that age? It's
well, you know weird. What it is?
It's
a lot
weird
of it
to me, man. It's weird.
A lot like, of it isn't.
I don't get it.
Yeah,
is it any different than being gay? I wonder, you know, I mean, like.
But a lot of it is they're not really looking for it. What happens is they'll be on like a dating site and someone will say, let's say like it'll say they're 19 or something. But as you start talking, then the decoy will be like, oh, by the way, I'm actually like 15 or something. That's how it starts. Like they don't necessarily go looking for it. And then that's what Jacob Wolf was doing with his show too. And then his Predator DC or whatever. And then they go, they're like, okay, whatever. Okay, that's fine too. Like that's where you're not supposed to do. But like, because I was always wondering about these shows because they kept talking about chat transcripts. I'm like, first of all, where are there even chat rooms anymore? Like in the early days of the internet, there was chat rooms. Like a lot of websites used add a chat room. And I'm like, where are these? Who's even chat? Who's chatting? And it turns out, no, what it is, it's like dating sites and someone saying they're 19. Then while they're talking, they say, oh, by the way, I'm actually younger. And then that's how, like, that's where, like, the sort of the crime gets committed. But I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So I was like, I remember the early days of the internet. You could just, a lot of websites would just have a chat room and you'd go on and just be chatting in a chat room. And those don't exist anymore, as far as I know.
Yeah. It'd be kind of a fun thing to do is instead of To Catch a Predator, to like, to catch a sugar daddy, you know, like, just do, like, but actually make them all of age, you know, like maybe like 20. The decoys are like 20 years old. Nobody gets arrested, obviously. But the goal is to be like, you come out as like the Chris Hansen sort of figure and be like, hi, I'm Michael Garza from Dateline NBC. Now, we're on a show called To Catch a Sugar Daddy. And we want to know, do you have the funds to back up this date with this girl? Stuff like that. And just be like, seeing if they're really a sugar daddy or if they're faking it. You know what I mean? Have you ever heard of the term Splenda Daddy?
Oh, are they a fake sugar daddy?
Yeah, it's basically a Splenda Daddy's a guy who's trying to pretend to be a sugar daddy, but doesn't have the funds to back it up. So like they got the sugar daddy vibes, right? That you know they got the daddy vibes. They you know say yeah, baby girl, buy all the things and stuff, but they really don't have the funds to back it up. They just pretend to be a sugar daddy and they just put it all on the credit card. So the goal is to try to be like a reality show. It's like, are you authentic sugar daddy or are you fucking faking it?
Like, no, someone did that to me like 2 days ago on the YouTuber Scribe Cash, right? She's this black girl and she's made like a bunch of music herself, but she also got famous for just reacting to like Weird Al and Led Zeppelin and stuff like that. But now she mostly just reacts to hip hop videos because I think she doesn't get as many copyright strikes. But she puts out a video where she puts out her email. And I've been kind of watching her for years. I'm like, hey, Scribe, what's up? I send her an email and I'm like, cause she's like, yeah, send me an email. We'll do a Zoom. Like, she just puts it out to her fans or whatever. Like, she's got 91,000 subscribers. Her videos get, lately they've been getting less than 1,000 views. But
did you get on her show?
No, I've been on, she used to do live streams where it was just, everyone's was, if you donate money, she'll play the song that you put in the thing. Yeah. Like, everyone was just listening to music. So I like, send her $5 and she'd play a song. And then everyone in the thing is all listening to the same song. It was fun. But she hasn't done that. She hasn't done that in a while. But anyway, she puts in her thing, and I'm like, hey, Scribe, I sent her an email. Hey, let's do a Zoom. And she says something like, oh, okay. She's like, do you have a Snapchat or something? And I'm like, no, I don't got that. She's like, will you pay for it? I'm like, Scribe, I take money from the internet. I don't give money to the internet. But it's like, that was what I think that's what she was doing, because she did initially, she's like, oh, I'm just shouting it out to my fans. Let's get together and do a Zoom. So I'm like, okay. And then she's like, trying to get money. I'm like, Scribe, there's not going to be any money happening here. I'm definitely a Splenda daddy.
yes. That is so fucking funny, dude. Holy crap. I'm trying to actually check in something real quick. I want to see, I'm actually looking at my phone real quick just to see if the stream is getting any, I think,
Well, your thing will sometimes say it's only getting like one viewer, but then when you refresh, it'll say like six or seven people have viewed or something.
So. Yeah, I feel like sometimes the view cast is not accurate. It's a little frustrating.
But I know you've gone up a couple subscribers tonight. Like, you're at 748 now, I think.
Yeah, I think it might even be up in it, you know. I might need to do a subscriber party one of these times where it's just like, hey, subscribe. And, yeah, I might show my wiener. I'm a little depressed, by the way. So, did I ever tell you that I go through, like, Mint Mobile for my carrier? Mint Mobile, the Ryan Reynolds. Company.
Yeah.
I am so pissed off. That motherfucker sold it out. He sold the company. He sold the company to T-Mobile. To T motherfucking Mobile. If you want, we can react to the there should be like a little CNBC interview and Jim Cramer, who's a total hack by the way, fucking interviewed both Ryan Reynolds and the motherfucking whatever his name is, the CEO of T-Mobile.
What do you think? He sold Mint Mobile?
Ryan Reynolds? Yeah, like. Well, he was one of the owners. I don't know how much of an owner he was. I think he was a pretty big owner in it. But, yeah, he and the company, I guess, sold Mint Mobile to T-Mobile. And, I mean, they sold it for like $1.3 billion or something, which is pretty
good amount of money. He did it, though, because he's buying an NHL team, like an NHL hockey team.
Oh, are you serious? Oh.
Yeah, he's buying the Ottawa Senators hockey team here in Canada. So.
is that true though? Oh man.
Yeah, he's been trying to buy it for a while, and now this will push it over the edge, they say. So it'll happen in like a few weeks.
So hopefully Ryan Reynolds is still a part of the ad campaigns, because I think he's still gonna be a part of the company. I just think that he's basically not running the show anymore. I think that he's basically like, because like you can't just take Mint Mobile and take away Ryan Reynolds from the ad campaigns. One of the reasons I was so hooked on getting into Mint Mobile was, one, it's fucking $15 a month for cell service. Two, it's like you got Ryan Reynolds doing the ads, and fuck, I just love Ryan Reynolds. So I'm not going to lie.
But, he's from Vancouver, right where I am. He's from there.
I know he's a Canadian. I didn't know he's from Vancouver, though. That's crazy.
But how did he get so rich? I think he just made some good investments, you know?
Well, I know he's really big in acting, obviously. So he got, you know, big in acting. And I think he took a lot of his money. And, well, think about it. He's got the one thing that money can't buy. He's got influence and a social following. So those are two things that are more important, in my opinion, than having a $1 billion. Although having $1 billion is incredible, by the way. Holy shit. But yeah, man, it's crazy.
Yeah, I guess he did do a lot of blockbuster movies now that I look at it. But
oh, he's made fat checks, man, because he even took a pay cut to do Deadpool. He always takes a pay cut to do, because he loves playing the Deadpool character. So he takes an intentional pay cut for the movie.
We probably took a pay cut, like, initially, and then probably got, like, back-end points. Because I think those movies did, like, really good. They were, like, blockbusters.
Oh, they were incredible. They did better than most Marvel movies. The first Deadpool movie was an under-budget movie. Like, it just did – they didn't spend a lot of money to make it. And it totally kicked ass in the box office, man. It even destroyed most Marvel movies that were, like, big budget. Like, and they were just like, oh, this Deadpool thing's a real deal. So then Marvel decided for Deadpool 2 to up the – they should have called it Deadpool 2, though, because of the upped budget in it. But that would have been funny as hell. But, yeah, no, I
– yeah, so his net worth is $150 million. I sold this company for $610. So I don't know how much he's got. He's got a lot of money, but –
Yeah, I know he's got a huge stake in the company, and I think either he might have sold his – maybe he's just kind of looking on to the next adventure. That's what I'm thinking he's doing. But
yeah, well, he's buying this hockey team, so which isn't a – but that it's a team that hasn't been making money. It's in a weird market, which is like the capital city in Canada, but the capital city's like a lot of globalists. Like, I don't know if they watch hockey. It's like government workers. So I don't know. Man,
I don't think I could do that. I don't understand. Like, why would you invest in even like? Because he invested in what's that fucking soccer team called?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, he bought a soccer team. Yeah.
Yeah, and he bought, and they're not very good. They're not very good, by the way. They're not a very profitable team. Like, yeah. If I'm going to buy a sports franchise, I want to make sure I'm going to make money off of it. You know, as much as I, like, as much as I love the Trailblazers, for instance, the Portland Trailblazers, the basketball team here in Oregon, hell, I mean, they'd be pretty expensive to buy, honestly, because they're pretty huge in Portland.
Yeah.
But, and just in Oregon in general, actually, there's tons of Blazer fans, but, yeah, just like, would it be worth it? Is it profitable? Maybe. I don't know. Portland is kind of a small market, actually, now that I think about it. But
well, you know, it's hard because with a lot of TV deals and marketing that leagues have, they kind of spread it around. Like, they even out the profits a bit more. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, NHL has a team in Arizona. They're in, like, near Phoenix. They're outside of Phoenix now. They built an arena, and then it was too far away from where most of the hockey fans live. Like, they literally lived on the other side of town, so no one was going to the games unless you were a tourist in Arizona seeing your team play. So now they're building another arena on the other side of town, but while that's being built, the team is playing at, like, the college or university there in some little arena that holds, like, a few thousand people. And this is like an NHL. This is like if Portland played in like a 3,000 seat arena or something for like Trailblazers, or like, you know, if the Seahawks played in like a 5,000 seat, you know, college, you know, or high school. So, you know, but that's in Arizona. The team makes no money. It's never made any money. It's almost gone bankrupt several times. The league just injects it with money because they want a team in Arizona for whatever reason. And yeah, it makes no money at all, but the league just pays for it. But the team never wins. They made the playoff once in like 30 years. And it's just like, whenever they get a good player, they got to trade him because they can't afford it. Wayne Gretzky was their coach for like a few years, and they couldn't afford to pay him. He didn't get paid for like 10 years or something. Finally, the league got around to paying what they owed him. But that's what I mean. So the leagues kind of pay for places that are failing just because they want to see franchises in different cities, just for the media coverage and the marketing and all that. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. My back is kicking my ass. I was playing basketball the other day, actually, and I kind of fucked it up a little bit, but my back's feeling a little better. I just have to pop it into place. There we go. I feel like I'm breaking apart a little bit. But,
yeah, you may have to go to a chiropractor. Do people still go to those? They're kind of shady, you know? You never know. Like, sometimes they'll push some stuff. You don't know if it worked, but.
Honestly, I found something that can help depressure the spine. It was just a simple little trick where you just pull your arms up like this on like a bar or something, and then just pull yourself up and just do deadlifts. But you have to have your hands like this when you're doing it. You have to like, you can't do this. You got to do this, like this, where your hands are like, then you just pull yourself up. You just hang there. You just hang there the whole time. And then you hang there for about like a minute. And I guess it's supposed to depressure your back and loosen out your back a little bit, like gravity do the work. Because you're hanging there with your arms. Because you're doing this, you're relieving the pressure, I guess, from the back.
Okay.
And it's a little trick I learned. So I was like, you don't need a chiropractor. You just need to be able to like lift yourself up for about a minute. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, give your arms a rest. Another minute. And then what's really cool is you're kind of working out your muscles a little bit too, because your muscles are getting strained by having to hold your whole body up. You're like, fuck. And that's a little trick I learned. I was thinking about doing it more often, but.
Yeah, the back is tricky, man. There's a lot you can do. But yeah, the spine. Like, so many problems start at the spine. Like, your nerve endings, like, mess with your brain function.
Oh, yeah. Man. One of the reasons why sometimes I'll sleep on the floor. Because the floor is the straightest area you can get. You can actually use that to, that pressure actually can hit your, can hit your spine and align it properly. Cause when you're on a flat surface, man, you can just align perfectly.
Right.
And that's why sometimes I can't even sleep in my own bed because my bed sucks ass. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, I thought about getting like one of those, purple mattresses.
Yeah.
Or some sort of like high-end mattress. I really thought about it. But eventually my girlfriend and I are going to be moving in together, and she's got like a way better bed than I do.
Okay.
But I'm also going to have my own sleeping spot too. So I'm still going to have my old shitty bed, but because there's going to be like times where I'll have to like, cause like I'm mildly allergic to cats, and she's got like three kitty cats. And it's one of those things where I'm like, can't always sleep in the same room where the cats are at. So I have to sometimes like sleep in another room for like 4 hours.
Yeah. I was talking to some lady on, I think she's from around my area, actually. I didn't realize it initially, but because the new thing is women are moving into vans and living van life, like living alone in a van. That's what people are doing. They're driving around. And this woman's like right near where I am. And she popped up because I told you I changed my YouTube settings. So it's not just like the videos it thinks I want to click on. It just throws up random stuff now. And this random person's doing a van life live stream. And she comes on. And I guess she's got like 8 cats in this van. And I guess one of them six. She's living in a van with cats. So I start talking to her in the chat. I'm like basically asking her like what went wrong in your life. And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you're living in a van with cats. And she starts getting all mad at me and she's like, starts flipping out. And then her like moderators start like banning my messages and everything. And it's
that is like a sign. Like if somebody has to freak out about your comment and then everybody's to block you, that is a sign that they have the problem. That it's the problem, man. They got the problem there.
Yeah, and then I said something like, yeah, you probably should have maybe got married and had kids instead. And then she like totally lost it. I'm just telling the truth. It's like, you're living in a van with cats and talking about all the mental issues you have. It's like, what went wrong? What happened? We're trying to figure it out. Because she's all like, oh, this is great. This is normal. There's no problems here. Like, she's talking about how she has no money and all this stuff. Like, she's got some problems. I'm like, just so you know, that's not like a normal thing. You should probably be in a house somewhere. Like, you probably could have got married and had kids or something. She has this whole thing about, oh, I never thought kids were cute until like a year ago. I never wanted kids. I'm like, okay, you didn't want kids, but you also don't have to live in a van. But,
like, how old is she, though?
She's like around, I mean, like maybe like 40-ish, maybe like late 30s. I don't know.
She might still have a chance to pop one out. She can get pregnant from some dude by a truck. So you go to a local truck stop and be like, fucking come inside me. You know, like that kid, that sounds terrible to say, but you know,
that would be better. That would be better. At least she might get an apartment out of that or something.
But yeah, I mean, there's plenty of like government programs for single moms.
But look what happened. That Gabby Petito story. She got, remember that the van couple, the van life, she got murdered. They were live streaming their van life together, and then he ends up murdering her. And after that happened, suddenly there's an explosion of women wanting to live in vans. Like, I have no idea why.
I actually have a theory behind this. It goes, you ever go on Netflix at all? And like,
I've used it, but not for like a long time. I've never really had it. So
you ever see? Oh, so okay. So I noticed that when I go on there, I don't really go on Netflix very often unless it's because I'm on my friend's account or on my girlfriend's account, one or the other. And when I'm on there, well, at least I used to see a lot of serial killer documentaries.
Yeah.
Like they're just romanticizing serial killers. Mm-hmm. And then I think when the Gabby Petito story happened, with the Brian Landry kill, I honestly think this is going to sound, I don't even know if I want to say this, but I think girls get off to those dangerous situations subconsciously. I think the van life became popular. And maybe it already was popular. I think it kind of was during that time. But I think it became even more popular after that whole murder situation happened. And it's, I don't know if it's like a warped thing with like the female psyche to be in love with serial killers or to like be obsessed with serial killers and then be obsessed with things that are just potentially so fucking dangerous and just so ridiculous. Like, because van life is not easy, by the way. That's not an easy life to live. I mean, unless you're like have gypsy blood, I guess. But
well, there's been an epidemic of people dying in these situations that because they shouldn't be out there. Not just van life, but also where I am, a lot of people go hiking into the mountains and are never seen again, or they find the body like a year later because I don't know. Maybe they're on their GPS on their phone and that the battery runs out and now they're lost. Which I don't understand because if you just walk down the mountain, eventually they'll get to a river or a road or something around here. But people have been going and hiking, even in the U.S. People have just been dying going hiking. It's like, I've never heard of that before. But I think it's people from the city, or maybe they're not, they shouldn't be hiking, basically. But they're going out and getting, so there's an epidemic. Something happened with the lockdowns where people just started, I'm going out, I'm wandering into the woods, into the mountains, I'm getting in a van, I'm driving into like Arizona or Wyoming, and they're dying because like, some of them are getting attacked by animals. Others are just getting lost and running out of water.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's one of those things, like, I get if you know you want to lead the van life and stuff, but at least, you know, like, I don't know, maybe don't go too far from civilization if you've never done it before, you know?
I think Gabby and Landry were from New York or something. I think they're from, like, the city somewhere.
Oh, yeah. So, like, the thing is, man, like, I don't know. I just, like, I mean, if you want to live cheaply, I get it. Like, I totally get it. Like, if I, let's say I was, like, a full-time investor and I didn't have to do my job remotely anymore, I could easily do my job in a van if all I had to do was sit on my phone all day and just watch my dividends come in or something like that, and that was it. You know, if I didn't have to work, I would probably live in a van and just probably hang out at the beach.
I think that Brian Landry was just working at a Home Depot before that. He was, like, just like a cashier at Home Depot or something. So he didn't have, like, a great job. And so a lot of people lost their jobs or they had crappy jobs. They're like, we can be stars on the internet. We'll make all this YouTube. We'll get sponsors and we'll make all this money. And that's what they were trying to do. But I think Gabby was like, I want to go home. This is a nightmare. And then that's where the conflict started. But that's the thing about women that age. It's like, you know, your body's telling you to, like, have kids and, like, bake cookies and, like, you know, like, run like a house kind of thing. But instead they take off in a van. It's like, yeah, you know, because a lot of them have jobs and stuff they don't like either. I'm like, yeah, don't quit that job. But then you want to, like, get married or something, not live in a van with cats until, like, you know, you get lost and die.
Yeah.
But you're right, what you're saying before about women and serial killers. Like, so many women take criminology in college. They're fascinated.
Yeah.
Like, most men see these serial killers and, like, I don't know, they seem like kind of a weird loser. And that's about as far as they take it. But with women, it's, like, really interesting.
I mean, to me, it's just like, first off, I don't know what it is about our society, but we're trying to make serial killers sexy. Can we make serial killers, I don't know, feared? You don't want to make that something like that should not be sexy, dude. No, like, it just shouldn't be, because, like, look, I actually think that the reason that stuff like that happens, where there's, like, mass shootings and all that stuff, my main thing is, first off, it's mental illness. Let's just all point it there. You know, sure, guns play a part, obviously, because if you know, a bit, but I don't think you should ban guns. You should try to, I don't know, maybe help people who are mentally ill. You know, the problem is there's not, I don't know what it is. It's just there's a loneliness epidemic. I honestly think the rise of social media is killing our ability to interact with each other. You know the neurochemical oxytocin, right? The connection chemical, basically. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, man, you don't get any oxytocin for shit when you're chatting with your friends on Facebook or chatting with your friends on the Snapchat, you know what I mean? So it's like,
well, you get these little dopamine hits with stuff like that, like these quick little bursts, like you're at a casino hitting a slot machine.
Yeah.
But that's different, exactly. You know?
But you still feel lonely though, you know, because you're only getting a dopamine hit. You're not getting, like, if I was to go up to you right now and be like, I'm going to shake your hand, there'd be actually a release between both of us of oxytocin.
Right.
It's actually released in human contact when people hug, handshake, sex, anything, you name it. Mm-hmm. Their oxytocin's produced. And that's one of the reasons, man, I think that the thing is, a lot of the serial killers I noticed are, one, they're on multiple prescription drugs.
Right.
That's the thing. I think prescription drugs are a problem to a degree, but they're also a solution too, because they can help out. They really can. All I know is I hated my life when I was on them. So I used to be on prescription drugs when I was younger and it was not fun.
Oh,
I felt
really?
Like a fucking zombie. Mainly because I was like, well, they didn't know how to diagnose me, to be honest, because I was a very odd fuck. They kind of just realized that I just probably have bipolar manic disorder, which oddly enough, I thought it would get worse as I got older. It didn't. I just kind of fixed my diet. Like, that sounds really, I'm not saying that's going to work for everybody, but who knows? Maybe I was missing something in my diet that was making me all whacked out, you know? And once I started actually eating right, and I was like, oh, I mean, I still eat like shit, don't get me wrong, but yeah, I started figuring out, like, just certain things that would help me feel better, you know, certain foods, certain exercises. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe this is simpler than I was given credit for. I was thinking it was complex for a while, but I started to be like, no. If I think it's complex, I'm going to be lazy about it. So I had to tell myself, I was like, it's easy. And then I started finding ways to simplify my diet, simplify my, you know, I don't know, good diet. Turmeric, by the way, I call it a miracle spice, because it's like, I see why it's used in Eastern medicine. like we're talking about like India, China, and all that shit. Mm-hmm. I get why they use it. It's incredible.
Well, it reduces it reduces inflation, and that can affect a lot of things. Inflation, like
no inflammation.
Yeah. Inflammation. Yeah.
No, it's okay though. We talk about inflation far too much on this channel. But yeah, inflammation though, man. It's anti-inflammatories, man. Like turmeric is a. Dude, its anti-inflammatory properties are out of this world. If you analyze it, it is. But yeah, it's definitely better than taking like ibuprofen, for instance, you know, or like Advil or whatever.
Well, you're in Oregon. You got a lot of kombucha where you are?
I see it all the time in the health food store. So there's this health food store I go to every now and then. It's called Natural Grocers. And they hold a lot. I wouldn't say a whole section dedicated to it, but they have like in one of the parts, they have like a whole bunch of kombucha. I've never tried it before.
It's good. I drink it a lot. I don't actually know that it does very much. It's supposed to be like an antioxidant, but I buy one that has turmeric in it. And so it's like a double turmeric and kombucha. But
Take turmeric powder. I get I get like it actually ground up. So they take the root, they ground it up. It's a natural process, luckily, and then it's all just in powder form. So I just put that powder in water, and then I have this stuff called Amazing Grass, which has like probiotics and stuff, and has actual like, what do you call it? Different vegetables and shit, all into powder just to make life easier. So then I put that in there, and I just stir it up, and then I just gulp it all down.
Yeah, well, my life started changing when I took like high DHA fish oil. And it's like, I actually went off it last year because I'd been on it for so long. I'm like, what happens if I go off it? I don't even remember. And I got a little, like, I think my thinking might have slowed down a bit. I think I might have, when I'm not on it, I just felt a little slower or something like that. So I've been taking it again. I'm now taking squid oil. But you got to be careful. Which is the same kind of thing. It's a high DHA kind of thing. But you got to be careful. A lot of fish oils, like consumer grade, aren't super good for like your heart and arteries and stuff, apparently. Mm. But some of the better ones, you want to get like a high DHA and like anything, any small fish like anchovy or like sardine. And I'm told squid is really good, or cod liver oil is good too. But if you're looking for brain function, you want like either smaller fish or squid. Just like read on the bottle that it's got more DHA. But yeah, when I started taking that, that seemed to really work. And olive oil too. I eat a lot of fat in general. Butter, olive oil, fish oil, because I wasn't really eating enough before, you know, and I think it just helps my brain function.
For me, man, it's the three things that I'm looking for is protein, fat, and carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to eat less candy as well. That's a big problem of mine. I love candy. So I eat more apples. Apples are my supplement, and also apples are just fucking good for you. They have potassium, they got vitamin C, they got a lot of fucking fiber. Like it helps me shit like crazy. I feel like this is turning into a sweet little doctor episode, even though I'm the most unqualified bastard in the world. Although I read a lot of medical shit. But
well, we were talking about serial killers. That guy who just killed all those college students in Idaho, he's got like female fans writing him and stuff now.
Seriously, oh my
god. They're like, right, so there's something about it. It's like, I don't know, it's some sort of Little Red Riding Hood thing where you want to be chased by a wolf, like walking through the woods, you know.
That's
some
sort of brilliant.
Like if you look at European folklore or any folklore around the world, it's like really psychological. Like I have this whole book about how it's actually in my Inland Empire book I wrote about how basically someone analyzed like 100 folktales and found they were basically all exactly the same in terms of their structure. And how they move it. So it's something deeply psychological where people kind of need the monsters. And, that's why stories are the way they are. But with these serial killers and stuff, especially women seem to need them for whatever reason. But it's like men are just sort of like, I don't know, that guy seemed like a loser. He lived in a van. He lived in a shed. Like, this guy's not super interesting to me. He went around stabbing people. Like, you know, it might be a little interesting, but it doesn't seem to fascinate people as much. So.
I'll hear about a serial killer and I just hear what they did and I'm like sick to my stomach. I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, for instance, 2018, I had an ex-girlfriend of mine and we had watched, I think it was like, I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
God, was it 2019? Probably 2019 or something. And we had watched Netflix where it was Zac Efron was playing like Ted Bundy or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, dude, I was like, they're really trying to make Zac Efron sexy as hell. Like, no, not Zac Efron. They're trying to make Ted Bundy sexy as hell by having Zac Efron, who is a teenage heartthrob, by the way, play a serial. It's like, dude, you kidding me? Like, when did this movie come out, by the way? I think it was like a Ted Bundy movie with Zac Efron. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, yeah, it's like 2019, yeah. And it was such a weird movie to watch because it's like I didn't really know much about him. Mm-hmm. But like I just never wanted to really watch another serial killer movie again after watching that, dude. I was like frightened. I was horrified. And I'll give Zac Efron props. He actually played the role very well. Is very convincingly, because I actually ended up looking up more stuff about him just out of curiosity to see how well Zach played. I was like, dude, that is freakish. It's freakish. But yeah, no, I don't understand the obsession. I really don't. Like you said, it might be a little Red Riding Hood thing where they want to get captured by the big bad wolf. There's some sort of sick fascination with it or something. I have no idea.
But there is something interesting about different murderers I've seen where it's like, you look at their lives and they're like, wow, they seem to have a good job. Like, they don't seem, like, unattractive. They seem to be married, plus they had other girls, like, on the side. And they still started killing people for, like, whatever random reason. Yeah. It's like, why would you just throw your life away? But that's a deeper question that I learned through the entire, like, lockdowns and everything that happened with the COVID. Is, like, I'm not really scared of people who want to kill me, because that's kind of rare. Like, it's rare someone hates you enough they're going to try and kill you. What's terrifying is just how, like, stupid people are. Like, a lot of serial killers are dumb, too. Like, why would you do that? But it's like, but just in general, the public, it's like everything they went along with and the, you know, the way the governments were and corporations went along with it. And it's like, just the amount of stupidity of the mass, of the masses and the, like, the hive mind, that's terrifying. Because you realize there's nothing you can do. They can cancel your job with, like, mandates. They can, they can fire you. They can cancel your bank for protesting against the government that happened here for a while in Canada.
That's so stupid. God.
But it's just like, that's what's terrifying. Like, I don't care about someone who hates me, because like I said, that's kind of rare. No one's gonna like just kick down your door for no reason and start but just the hive mind of just destroying, even now the economy's being destroyed, you know. It's like there's just nothing you can do to stop it. You can just stand there and watch it happen. It's like, what am I supposed to do? You know, you can lose everything, you know.
Well, as they say, there's nothing scarier than a group of people. You know, seriously, like that's it's so funny because they always say, I've always hated the word, I've always hated the term teamwork makes the dream work. Because every time I hear that, I also think, yeah, that only works if you're all working together for a common goal. Yeah. It also worked, I guess, you know, teamwork makes the nightmare work, too. You know, look at the Salem witch trials. Look at the Holocaust. That was started by groups of people who complied with Hitler. You know, that started with an entire nation that allowed that.
Or the vaccines. It's like, you're not vaccinated. Like, that was a witch hunt, too, against people.
Oh, yeah. And you know, like, what pissed me off about the vaccine thing? None of it was FDA test. None of it was really tested. They didn't do shit about testing. We were the guinea pigs. You know what? It's funny. I ended up getting the vaccine because I was just like, fuck it. I got it because my mom was going through like some cancer treatment shit. Mm-hmm. And honestly, and she still is. But at this point, even she's just like, you know what? She's not even afraid of it at this point. Like I was more afraid for her. Like I could care less because I've probably gotten COVID like 3 or 4 times. I got the vaccine back in 2020. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm bored. I want to see. This sounds terrible to say, but I also wanted to see how I'd react to it. I wanted to see if it would alter me in any bad ways. It sounds, I did actually have problems, like mild issues after having it. So like, I don't know.
Well, it was crazy because in my office, it was like maybe February of 2020. I was the first one in my office to even be talking about it because I was seeing the videos in China of people like trying to jump out their window because they've been locked in their apartment and like everything that was going on there. And I was showing people in my office and they were just sort of ignoring me, or they like kind of thought I was racist for like showing what was going on in China or something. I'm like, no, there's like something serious going on here. And they just laughed at me. Mike watches the news too much. And then a month later, I show up to work and there's people running out the door. They're like, did you get the email over the weekend? I'm like, no, I didn't check it. I'm like, yeah, they're shutting down the office. People are just grabbing their like staplers and supplies and heading out. It was just me and a couple managers left. So I start working. I sit down. Then it gets to lunchtime. I'm like, yeah, you better go home. Everyone's leaving. So it looked like, if you ever see that Stephen King made for TV movie of when he did The Stand and all the scientists are running out of the lab at the beginning of the movie when the virus. So we did. But anyway, with the vaccine, it's like, yeah, I work for governments. They did a mandate and it came down to, if you didn't take it, you were put on like unpaid suspension indefinitely until you took it. So it came down to like the last day for me to book it because it took a few weeks to get an appointment. So I wrote a whole bunch of letters to my union and them trying to get out of it. I'm citing like Nuremberg codes after World War II and like all kinds of international human rights conventions and all this other stuff and just other stuff that was going on in the news, because stuff was happening where it's like, the vaccine is like, there's no evidence it's effective. Like some woman in Seattle died from it, like around that time. People were just dying from the vaccine. So anyway, it came down the last day and I ended up booking it. I ended up getting it. I was mad the whole time, like having to go get it. I was like chirping at the guy who was like giving it to me and everything. So anyway, I got it. And then, but yeah, that's the other thing. I think I had COVID around the February 2020, just because I had a flu that seemed normal, except my lungs were messed up for like a month after. So that might've been COVID, but eventually it went away. So I get the vaccine. I got the Pfizer one because that one seemed like the least dangerous at the time.
That's funny because that's the one I got too. I got the part one, part two shot at the time. And oh man, that's so wild, man. Because you know what my main solution's been though to not getting either, if I do get COVID, it doesn't matter because I'm always have 3000 IU of vitamin D. Every day, take that right in the morning, and then I'm good. Also, you know what I will say? It's funny because what you're talking about with the whole going having to work from home sort of thing, it's kind of how it happened with my job. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually told my manager before, I was like, dude, give it a week. World is already freaking out. We're probably going to be sent home. And dude, he's like, you called it, dude. You called it because everybody was overreacting. And then our management overall, or upper management for the company was just like, oh, we'll see what happens. And then all of a sudden, bam, they're just like, okay, everybody's basically working from home. And IT was scrambling to make it all happen. And we ended up getting sent home with a computer, with all the computers that we use there. And then we were just like, okay, we're taking phone calls from home now. And that's, well, even the building that we're working in is no longer there. Right. It was there, but like, it's no longer leased out by the company. So it was one of those situations where like, oh, interesting. So at this point, we just basically work from home. And
would you guys ever meet up, like have a physical meeting?
Basically straight up. We do have like, for the company, we do have, because our company is based in multiple different locations. Mm-hmm. I won't say which specific ones, but like basically we'll do little, not really, I'm not going to lie. We'll go in like different formats and stuff like that. We'll talk to each other in the little lounge rooms and stuff like that. But overall, I kind of like the antisocial aspect of it. Like, I mean, like people do still socialize and stuff. I'm not really a part of the socialization. I've always been okay being an outsider because that's how I've always been. But me, I'm just like, I put my head down. And I just get to work, you know, I still like, you know, I'll socialize a little bit and be like, you know, I'll contribute to a few little conversations that are going on in like the Teams rooms or whatever, the Microsoft Teams rooms and stuff. But
so you guys never get together in person anymore, though.
I mean, we could, because we still have like the chat room in Teams for like our local area.
Okay.
I just don't really socialize with my coworkers that much. And the majority of the coworkers that are part of the client that I'm a part of, I'm not gonna give away too much information, but it's kind of weird. So like how it works, I mean, I don't know. I'm just not that interested. I mean, I was friends with a few people actually at the job, but a lot of them ended up quitting anyway. So
oh, really?
A lot of the people I was friends with that were working there ended up kind of quitting. So like, but yeah, no, it's pretty cool though. I enjoy it either way. I honestly, I ain't gonna lie. Like I socialize with, you know, people I know, people I've known for a long time. And, that's just kind of how, I mean, that's pretty, my friend group is just, it's funny because one of my friends is a full on communist. I love him. I call him the White Eagle, but, he's a full on communist, best friend I've ever had. And then there's my boy Nathan, who surprisingly works. He actually, you know, cause he's thought about quitting a few times, but, he still sticks around at the same company that I'm with. Cause we've been friends since like him and I have been friends since like high school. So it's right. Like, but yeah, no, that's my friend group right there. Like just a couple dudes I've known for ages. I keep my friend group pretty small though. But overall though, I gotta admit, I mean, like I consider you a friend, which is super badass. And even though, you know, we never met, obviously we met on here and I figured that's good enough. High resolution enough. You can hear each other, see each other. So that's always good. But
yeah, well, that came up actually someone on Gavin's network, Lotus Yoshida, who's this half-Italian, half-Japanese girl who lives in Hawaii. But she was doing a thing with some of her people online, and she's like, they're talking about, like, she's asking them, do you consider me a friend kind of thing? And I was thinking, you know, normally I would say no. Like, if you don't know someone in person, then I don't count that as a friend. But after everything that's happened the last few years and the way everything's changed, then I think it's different now. I think you have to count it. It's like friends, even if like someone has lived near you or whatever, just because, you know, I mean, that's what there is. Like, there's no, that's just how everything changed, you know, it's different,
oh, yeah.
It's a different situation.
No, like, but if you were to tell me, hey, I'm going to the States for a bit, I'm gonna make my way to Oregon for a bit, you want to meet up and have a beer? I'd be like, fuck yes, let's do it. You know, but like, I just know that being able to talk to you, fun to talk to you, man.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to launch this channel. It's a good conduit, so I don't have to do any work. I just show up. You got all the YouTube going and everything. But I got nothing to sell, really, or promote. So, you know, but with your channel, you could take it off. You could become, you know, what do you think? You're building your socials, and then maybe you start become an influencer or something.
Well, I'm building my influence, man. I kind of like it. Like, I don't really consider myself an influencer per se. Yeah. What would be the opposite of that? Like, I'd be like, I would consider myself an antagonizer more than no, not really. But I'm counterculture, I guess. Yeah. I'm very counterculture. I think a lot of things that people like are kind of dumb. I'm not afraid to say it.
Your whole thing should be, because you didn't go to college, right?
No. I knew it was a pyramid scheme the moment I looked at the loans.
That should be your whole thing is, here's the opinions of someone who didn't go to college.
Yeah.
People will like run to your channel. It's like, yes, that's amazing. We can't wait.
Yeah. And luckily, like, it's so funny because I remember telling my dad, because my dad said I would never amount to anything if I didn't go to college or I wouldn't have a good life. And I was like, okay, well, you didn't go to fucking college and you're doing pretty fucking well for yourself, dude. And he rode his talents. And that's what you should do. You should ride what you're good at, you know, use your strengths. I happen to be good at talking on the phone and I happen to be good at solving problems. So I'm perfect for the job that I do. It's great because I can work from home. That's fucking great. But
the other thing is US college is way more expensive than Canada. Like I got student loans, but I've got the deal worked out where it's zero interest. So I make monthly payments, eventually it'll be paid off, but the more inflation goes, and if my paycheck goes up with inflation, then my student loan payments go down based on how much my income is coming up. So there's no incentive to pay it off really quickly. So I make monthly payments, but like what I owe total is like what you might have got for like what you might have had to pay for a year or even like half a year. Like that's how much college is in the US. It's really expensive. So, but you guys also make more money. Like that guy I was telling you about, that debt guy, Caleb Hammer. If you ever watch his channel, he basically, people come to him, oh, I got credit card debt, I got a car debt, I got this, and he tries to sort out their finances and tells them, oh, you got to get a second job or you got to cut your streaming and cut your Uber Eats. That's basically his thing. He sits down with people and works out, he audits their finances. But like, he's in Texas and people are like, yeah, you know, I only brought home like 90,000 last year after taxes. And Caleb Hammer's like, oh, okay, this is going to be tough then. It's like 90,000 in Canada. That would like, you'd be, you could like own a town. You'd be like the mayor by default if you had like 90,000. It's like, there's a few rich people here. Like some people do make much, but that's a lot of money for Canada. It's like in US, it's like, yeah, you know, I graduate college. I'm making 80 grand a year now. But, you know, so obviously not much. It's like here, that's like a top salary, like in my, where I am. Like top salary where I work is probably maybe like, it's less than 200,000. Like in my little department, it'd probably be maybe 150,000 or something. Mm-hmm. That might be like the tops. And these are like entry level people in Texas who are broke and they're having to cut back their Uber Eats. And this guy's auditing their finances.
My goodness, man. That is crazy.
So there's more money in the US, I think. I think people make more money.
Well, I will admit it's, yeah, I mean, well.
And also then, stuff is cheaper. Stuff is cheaper. Like I see deals like on US commercials, like 99 cents for this or like $1.99, get three of these. And like, well, we don't really have that anymore up
here. Well, and a lot of it comes from, so deflation. So there's deflation and inflation. I do believe that you have to look at things in sections in consumer goods. So, for instance, potato chips. Potato chips don't really raise in price very much. I think that that's because it's honestly that a lot of companies have found ways to mass produce at a very quick level and automate the process and make it towards less expensive. So if you can make the process of manufacturing potato chips, for instance, a less expensive process, then that would be deflation. You know, if you make it more automated, stuff like that. So I think even though there's inflation through the fact that the Fed keeps printing fucking dollars, there's also deflation counteracting that in a weird way because there is just more automation than there's ever been. There's not as much need for labor anymore. I mean, we're probably going to need more engineers to make sure the robots are working, the automated robots that are working on everything. But I don't know. That's the way I look at it.
And you guys have Black Friday, the shopping day. It's like Canada tried to copy your Black Friday because that wasn't a thing up here until like maybe in the last 10 years, maybe even the last 5 years. It's like no one had heard of Black. We've seen the videos from the US because everyone tramples each other trying to get a TV. But it's like we never had that here. And then they brought it here. And it sucks. There's no trampling because there's no lineups because all it is, oh, we'll give you $10 off this $1,500 TV, this like flat screen. Like there's no deals up here on Black Friday. Oh, you save 5% on this like hat or something like that.
Oh my God. That's a good idea for a reality show.
Yeah.
Holy shit. No. I'm not kidding. I actually think I just struck gold.
Oh, really? What happened?
I'm actually freaking out right now. This I gotta just say the idea to you real quick, so I don't care who steals it. If anybody's listening, steal this idea. People have made reality shows about everything, right?
Yeah.
What if you made a reality show where you set a Black Friday at a specific store and we just call it a Black Friday exclusive?
Yeah.
And let's say it's like a Walmart in... fuck it. Let's say Los Angeles. I don't know if they have Walmarts there, but let's say Walmart in Los Angeles. Okay. Exclusive. And this just happens to be a Friday of a random week, not an actual Black Friday, but they're just going to call it Black Friday exclusive, this store only. And it's a reality show where they have cameras everywhere, people being interviewed. And also you get to watch the trampling happen. You get to watch it. And there's going to be spanking deals on everything in that fucking store. Right. So not only is Walmart getting free advertising and also probably a bunch of lawsuits, there's also the fact that that's good reality TV. People every year watch the news just to see how many people got killed on a Black Friday. That sounds awful because if it bleeds, it leads, obviously, and that's terrible. I don't really think that way, but I know how the people think. And people, we all have savage brains. And we want to see like terrible things happen. It's unfortunate. But.
Well, that'd be a good movie. That'd be a good anything. It's like, do you ever see that Vietnam War movie, Full Metal Jacket? Have you saw that? But
oh, I've seen clips.
But like, you know, it starts off, they're shaving the recruits' heads, and then they go through like the Marine boot camp, and then they're out into Vietnam. You could fill, you could do that with like, okay, it starts off, employees are getting hired for the holiday season. They're in the Walmart break room filling out their paperwork. They're getting ready. They're starting to show them clips of last year's trampoline, and people are like suplexing each other over TVs and PlayStations and stuff. And then it starts building, like counting down the days to Black Friday. And then it's like the day everyone's lined up outside the window. You can hear glass. Like kind of start like it's gonna break, like you're like the door starting to push, and then you just unleash the people, and then it's just chaos, and just like there's like people throwing shoes across the floor, and like whole like racks are toppling over, and everyone's screaming, and it's like who survives? We'll see. It'll be like a Vietnam War movie. We'll see who's left at the end, who survived Black Friday from the original like part-time Walmart recruits.
Oh, yeah. Oh man. Anyway, I just realized it's like 11:55, man. I gotta probably get my.
I didn't watch Gavin's free episode today either. I didn't watch it yet, but it looked like a St. Patrick's Day one. I know his Maddie's Shitty Little Kitchen was making Irish food. I watched that, but then I think Gavin was going to some St. Patrick's Day party, but I didn't watch it yet. So
I dig it, man. We'll have to check it out. I'll have to check it out, my friend. Anyway, Tim, I am feeling it, man. I am feeling the burnout. That was a fun one. I decided this last one just needed to be an hour long. I was like, fuck it. As much as I like doing them in parts, so I was like, this is an hour already. This is incredible.
Yeah, well, we should write a Black Friday movie together. It'll be a co-writer kind of thing. I'll get something started. I'll email it to you. You just add to it.
Yeah, honestly, any ideas, man? I don't know, but I think it'd be a funny pitch to Hollywood or whoever the fuck.
You could do it before they even get to Walmart, like the circumstances, why they need this part-time job or something, like who knows. You could have all these recruits, like someone's a college student, someone like lost all their money on Bitcoin, like you have all this stuff, and now they're there, and now it's like you need the money because it's Christmas. But and you can't quit, or they're gonna make you pay the money back for your uniform or something. But meanwhile, you know you're probably gonna die once the doors fly open and everyone charges in. It's like, what do you do? That'll be the question. That'll be the trailer. What would you do?
Not a bad one. I love it, man. All right, my friend. All right, I'm gonna vamoose. I'm gonna go. I'm going to eat something real quick, even though it's like freaking midnight. But I'm going to eat just something like potato chips or something, just something easy. I already ate a little earlier. But
bag of potatoes, chips, Patrick. Yeah, that's what I
got. Oh, man. Anyway, I'll catch you later, Tim, man. I'm out.
All right, have a good one. I'll see you next time.
Happy St. Paddy's Day, my friend.
Woo, happy St. Paddy's Day.
Later.